Yeah. You're checking out the Slam Magazine Respect the Game podcast. You heard it first from your boy, Jay.
All right, what's good, world? It's your boy, Pete Walsh, a.k.a. Lamborghini Petey, a.k.a. Mr. Brexit. Shout out to the sponsors, Sarah's Artisanal Kitchen in Essen. Back again, episode 41, the Dirk Nowitzki episode.
Don't forget Lipton as well.
Oh, shout out to Lipton, providing us with the tea today. As we get our vocals ready for the pre-All-Star pod.
I was about to say, man, it's about to be a long weekend, so yeah. We gotta, you know, get some sleep, get the body feeling right.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long one.
So, before I proceed, Abe, what is good, sir? How are you?
A.K.A. Abraham Lincoln Bio.
A.K.A. the panel man. About to be on that good panel AKA, later this afternoon.
A.K.A. Young Career Day.
But nah, we got no guests this week due to, many mitigating factors, but laziness being up there as the top one.
All the good guests are already down in New Orleans. Yeah. We're about to go join them. So
big fact, we're playing in a game tonight, and I emailed a few teams this week, and they didn't even get back to me. So I think everyone's kind of mailed it in this week.
It happened.
But no, I'm with it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just say I would like to point out at the risk of making this creepy off top. I had a dream last night that we were down in New Orleans, and obviously, there's a lot of media runs and sneaker events and, opportunities to play basketball with some of the basketball media. I had a dream that Pete was out there on the court fucking killing it in a media run, and I look up, and he's wearing a do-rag. And I don't know what that means. If you're a dream reader, dream interpreter, please tweet me. I saw Peter Walsh just absolutely murdering the competition whilst wearing a do-rag in New Orleans.
And so, you know damn well if I get out there, I'm going hard.
And you'll
no matter what the situation.
This might have just been a straight premonition, honestly.
We were we hooped on Monday night, and people were really getting after it.
Yeah.
Yelling at people. Well, I was yelling at people. I walked out of here. I thought my leg was broken, but
I hit you smack in the face on a layup attempt.
Shit was mad fun, though. I loved every second of it. But anyway, before we veer too far off topic, let's just get right into it, man. We're going to just do some midseason awards, give a little primer on All-Star Weekend, who we're looking forward to seeing, who's going to win, skills competition, etc. So, let's not waste any time. Let's get right to it. So the first thing we want to do is just give our midseason MVP award. Doing some very brief research. Right now it looks like it's a three-headed race between Durant, Harden, and Westbrook. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So,
excluding the fact that LeBron could win this award every single year.
Took the words out of my mouth. And the thing with LeBron is the new sheriff in town has been on a tear as of late, and with Kevin Love out, I feel like he's just going to start going off for crazy numbers. So there's no reason to exclude him from the race right now. I'm just curious if he's going to keep playing. Just keep playing, period. And I mean, I have no doubt he'll stay at this level, but I'm curious if he'll keep playing. So I don't know. I mean, Harden and Westbrook, kind of the popular picks.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the history of the MVP award, it's going to be, if you look at straight history and you're just going off the way this is done historically in the NBA, it's going to be hard for Russell Westbrook to win the MVP.
Facts. They sit at 31-24 right now.
I don't know what the exact number is. Got to do my Googles. But something like, 10 of the last 12 or something like that, MVPs have all been of either the number one or number two seed in the NBA, maybe even more. I just know it's basically almost every single one has been from one of the best teams in that guy's conference, which is why you have guys like Steph Curry, LeBron, even, Durant in 2014. So if you're going by that logic, it's going to be hard for Westbrook to win. Now, that being said, I think he's probably sort of the like the overwhelming people's choice for MVP this season by far.
I mean, and to that
and player's point, choice too.
I guess
for that
counterpoint, like averaging a triple double is such an anomaly. Yes. If he's able to pull it off, that you know it's like borderline disrespectful if he doesn't get the MVP. But you know, so much of this it comes down to wins and losses, and they just don't have the record to stack up.
But see, he is the MVP. And the reason is just because of what you just said. I mean, it's just so – what he's doing is so obviously – he is so obviously having the best season in the NBA and has
– Is it that obvious?
I think from a you know, respect of his peers, excitement from the fans. Like, I just think, like, he – this season is the Russell Westbrook season.
Okay.
And for those reasons, he's my MVP.
All right. Interesting.
I just think like he is sort of defining this, despite not being one of the top one or two teams in his conference. He's still the defining guy of this season. You go up to any NBA fan, they're going to talk about Russell Westbrook within the first two or three players that they mention, no matter what. And that's saying something, considering that they probably can't name three more guys on that roster, and that team is basically buns besides him.
Yeah, he's certainly dragging in the common fan.
Yeah,
way earlier than usual. Usually, like, you know, people start paying attention Christmas Day, and then, you know, after All-Star, there's like, it's weird, like, All-Star game, there's so much attention, and then you come back, it's March Madness, and like, you know, I feel like the everyday basketball fan kind of veers off and pays attention to the tournament for those X amount of weeks, and then they come back, and like, it's almost playoff time. So, the NBA, it's like, but like, Russ is so compelling that, you know, he gives you a reason to watch every single time he plays, no matter what else is going on.
Russell Westbrook is normalizing the triple-double. Like, this is not normal, people. Like,
no, it's not at all. But you could say the same thing for Harden. Like,
true.
He's out here putting up similar, if not better, numbers. And you want to talk about normalization. Like,
he's had
man's dropped a 50-point triple-double like it was nothing.
he had two of them within a month span, and the last time it was done before that was like 20 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, Harden's putting up like Wilt Chamberlain numbers on occasion, I think. And he's going to on track to play all 82, you know, knock on wood. But to me, those two guys, I mean, the Durant thing is interesting too, obviously, and
that's
there's a whole
my
argument
pick.
For that. That's your pick?
Yeah.
So give me the Durant argument.
Well, for one, he's fucking amazing. And two, I mean, I feel like he's really, you know, if you're going to talk efficiency and, you know, playing within, you know, the jump to Golden State wasn't easy because, you know, you still have to fit in. And he's been able to not only.
It wasn't easy?
I mean, it was easy from a point of he's going to win a shitload of games and be in contention for a championship right away. But as far as like coming in and playing with Curry, Clay,
you're saying
Draymond,
as far as fitting in.
Yes, like, and like they hit the ground running. Like, whereas like in Miami when LeBron and Wade and Bosh teamed up, you know, there was a transition period and it took them a while to get off the floor.
Well, I think the devil's advocate is that was, you know, all three guys coming together at once, whereas Warriors, well-oiled machine, just adding one of the best players in the league, if not the best player.
True. But
to their system that's already absurd.
But if you're going
to
talk efficiency and still putting up monster numbers and playing damn good defense on the other end, like, Durant's really, you know, he's certainly getting overshadowed by Harden and Westbrook on the statistical end, but he's still having an unbelievable season numbers-wise. And they're the best team in the NBA. And if you're going to base it on history, the best team in the NBA usually, the best player in the best team usually wins MVP. So I'm not going to go bucking the trend here. I'm going to go with Durant for MVP at this point.
Okay. How much would that hurt for OKC fans? Not only everything else, but if he wins MVP?
Yo, honestly, oof. I hope he does for that very reason. The way he got treated, I mean, it's no surprise that he got treated with a lot of vitriol and hate going back to OKC this past weekend. But like, yo, man, shitted on them entirely in that game, and like hitting the shot right in Westbrook's face. It was great. I was happy for him.
I don't feel any sympathy for OKC fans whatsoever. Yeah. I'm imagining how mad they'll be if you know he tacks that on to whatever other accomplishments the Warriors will have this year. I mean, all right, so before we jump off of the MVP thing, should be noted that back-to-back MVP Steph Curry, arguably like the sixth or seventh guy this year, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
You go from back-to-back MVP, unanimous MVP, and now, I mean, you could arguably put Kawhi Leonard, even like Isaiah Thomas, you could put ahead of Steph Curry. It's crazy.
Well, speaking of dark horse candidates, I mean, I've kind of been on this bandwagon for a minute, and I think John Wall is like certainly making a case to be MVP, man.
All right, Pete said it, not me. but yeah, I mean, I'd take John Wall. If you're talking straight MVP race, I'd take John Wall over Steph Curry. I don't know if I'd, you know, in a vacuum, I don't know who I'm taking there, but this season in terms of MVP race, if the Wizards keep, you know, keep this up and maybe make a little move here, even with Kevin Love out, like you said, like, yeah, he's definitely got to be in that conversation as well. Certainly get some votes.
I mean, yeah, they're 33-21, 14-2 in their last 16. And he's averaging, you know, close to 20, right under 23 points, almost 11 assists and 4.5 boards. Like, those are ridiculous numbers.
Yes.
And, you know, they went toe-to-toe with the Cavs, should have won that game. And certainly, you know, in a great space. They could fuck around and finish, you know, definitely in the top three and maybe top two, you know, depending on what happens with the Cavs and the Celtics going forward.
Yeah, the top of the East is definitely in flux a little bit.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the Raptors are, like, spiraling out of control.
Yeah, but then they pick up Ibaka.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something weird going on with that team, though, man. I don't know what it is, but there seems to be a lot of infighting. And I don't know. I mean, the players might just be getting, like, ornery. You know, it's February. They're losing some games. So I can't really blame them. I'm feeling the same way. Showing up to work every day.
It's just February. Yeah. It's just this month.
It's been a long year already, man.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
All right. But, oh, another dark horse I got, Isaiah Thomas, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, and Kawhi Leonard. I mean, the Spurs are having another unbelievable season. And, like,
yeah,
it's just ho-hum.
It is incredible that, you know, we've said this over and over, but we're in such a, you know, golden age of the NBA where, like, it takes us however long, 12 minutes into this podcast, to even name Kawhi Leonard and Isaiah Thomas, two guys that are having, like, you know, seasons that will go down in NBA history. It's just, I mean, like, even the Harden thing, like, you know, we spend 10 minutes talking about Russell Westbrook. Meanwhile, Harden's putting up numbers that only Wilt fucking Chamberlain has done in the history of the league. So, you know, just, you know, take a step back and be appreciative. I think that's why this All-Star Weekend's going to be so much fun, too, because all these guys will be down there.
Yeah, big fact. All right, so I got Most Improved next up on the list. Certainly won't spend as much time on this one as MVP, but the one guy I got who is starting to blow up is Nikola Jokic from the Nuggets, averaging 23 points, 10 boards, and 5 assists in 2017 per Mark Stein of ESPN. Well, come on, man. I don't want to get out here caught jacking tweets. But, you know, he had the monster game against the Warriors, put up a crazy triple-double. They blew them out. And he's just fun as hell to watch. Like, he really – he does it all. He's an amazing passer, has amazing touch, a feel for the game. So I'm making him my pick for sure.
This is, like, a weird – category always because you know it's one of those things. It's like, can it be, is it, do you just take like a young guy who all of a sudden is getting more minutes and that's why he's quote unquote better, or is it just his stats have gotten better because he's playing more minutes?
Right, because you could theoretically make the case that Steph Curry should have won Most Improved the year he won MVP both years.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, and didn't Monte Ellis win the back-to-back years at one point? I think, you know, do your Googles at home for me. I know he didn't win back-to-back years, but he had a case too, I think, at one point there. He won in 07. But, yeah, I mean, so if you look down the list of sort of the history of the Most Improved, there's some guys on there are, like, superstars that went from, you know, good player to all-star or MVP candidate, and some of those guys are, like, you know, guys who were just role players and all of a sudden became starters. So it's kind of a strange category. I'm kind of, it's such a bummer that Zach LaVine got hurt because he probably would have been my pick for this category.
Mm.
He was playing really well, you know, before he went down with that ACL. So we hope he gets well soon. But on that note, I think Giannis is my pick. Because,
I'm bugging. I was thinking that too while you were talking.
I mean, I think it basically has to be Giannis or Jokic because, I mean, and in Giannis's case in particular, he's like gone from like good promising player to like holy shit, this dude might be one of the five best players in the NBA by the end of the season. And he does stuff on a nightly basis that is absurd. I mean, he takes off from like he picks up his dribble like 5 feet behind the 3-point line and he's dunking easily in two steps.
He's like low key on Russ's level of like drawing in the common fan, and just
yeah, it's amazing because how many fans do you think can spell his last name?
I mean, how many people?
How many people in our office do you think can spell his last name without Googling it?
I'll be awaiting the text from Figman after he listens to us with it spelled out correctly.
I think I know how to spell it now because I like committed it to memory.
Yeah, I ain't even gonna ask you to do it.
I don't want to. Also, I'm looking at it on a piece of paper. So
yeah, all facts. But statistically, I mean, last year he was at 17 points. Right around 8 boards and 4.3 assists per game. Excuse me. This year he's at 23, right under 9, and 5.5 assists. So, I mean, I feel like I didn't write down the minutes, but I feel like he's got to be playing similar minutes, right?
Yeah. And he's certainly assumed like a larger responsibility on all facets of that team. So, for me, he's most improved. I know that's, you know, this is by far the strangest category. So,
yeah.
And you look at some of the names that are on the most improved list going back, like
Bobby Simmons,
Turkoglu,
our boy,
yeah,
Boris,
future podcast guest Bobby Simmons,
Aaron Brooks. I know it's kind of like you kind of see it's kind of taken a little bit of a turn since
Daryl Armstrong in 99, like,
yeah,
you know,
since 2010. I mean, it's like Kevin Love, Ryan Anderson, Paul George, Dragic, Jimmy Butler, McCollum. So it's, you know, kind of taking a turn at guys putting up monster numbers.
I mean, McCollum could win it this year, too. That's the other thing.
Dude, he's having an unbelievable year,
taking yet another leap. So. Yeah.
But who else? What other candidates you got?
Just I guess some of the other names you'd have to consider. Miles Turner. I mean, you know, kind of in that young guy category of the couple of categories that would apply to this. Harrison Barnes, completely new role, you know, really stepping into, you know, taking much more of the lion's share of shots and responsibility on a new team. I guess Porzingis, too. I mean, you know, he was flirting with an all-star bid at this point.
Yeah, he's certainly leveled off as of late, though.
For sure.
Whether that's his fault or not is for another day.
Yeah, but to me, I think, you know, the two most obvious are Jokic and Giannis.
Yeah, I got Otto Porter in there, too.
Hell yeah,
as a potential. I didn't realize he leads the NBA 3-point percentage. Mm-hmm. You know, definitely having a good year. Probably going to get a max deal in the offseason. So, you know, shouts to him. Shout out to the Wiz, man. Can't believe how much love I've been giving them as of late.
Seriously, man. Shouts to Glenn Rice Jr. as well.
Seriously or not?
No, not at all. It's kind of like one of those stories, like, you know, like two kids from the hood and one chose the right path and one chose the wrong path. It was Glenn Rice Jr. and Otto Porter from that summer league a couple years ago.
Yeah. Good times, Ben. All right, rookie of the year. I mean, even like though Embiid has played,
should we even talk about this? This is like the easiest one.
I don't really feel like it's the easiest one, just because Embiid has, you know, he doesn't play that much.
Dude, he could be an all-star easily.
Easily?
Yes.
He's hurt, man. He can't even play.
He's hurt, but only hurt in Sixers world.
What the hell does that even mean?
I'm just saying, if
he, so if it was like a normal NBA injury, he'd be playing.
I don't know if he'd be playing, but he certainly wouldn't be, you know, out for extended periods. Yeah.
Okay.
Just be an extra cautious, which I completely agree with. I'd operate the same way. It's the same reason Ben Simmons won't play this year.
So when there's no way he's playing this year. So when are we going to see them all on the court together? You think 2019? Embiid, Simmons, Sarge. I guess those three.
TJ McConnell, not part of your core.
I mean, damn, I feel like TJ McConnell is going to play 82 for the next 10 years.
In what league?
It doesn't matter. He'll be in the rec league.
In the G League?
Yeah, definitely in the G League. Shout out to the G League, most fire name of the league ever.
Actually, we're disrespecting him. He's been great.
Yeah, that's your boy, man. You really like him.
I do, and they've needed him. Like, the Sixers, you know, got all these big dudes. Someone's got to feed him the ball.
Yeah.
Shit, at our pickup game on Monday, we had a at one point the teams were wild mismatched, and four big dudes were playing against four small dudes, and the small dudes won because no one on the big team could make a fucking entry pass.
Yeah, man. People love hearing about our pick.
I'm just saying, this applies across the board, whether you're in fifth grade or the NBA. You need a point guard to feed your big men. If your big men are good, they can't bring the ball up and pass themselves the rock.
All right. Facts. All right, so Embiid is the runaway winner, in your opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyone else even on that list?
I mean, your boy Malcolm Brogdon.
I got Brogdon on there.
Second, but I mean, I think it says a lot about the rookie class that if you start going down this list, like, you're going to start going to, like, Andrew Harrison.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess Marquise Chris has had, you know, a little bit of a surge.
True.
Buddy Hield's been very solid. Saric would have to get some consideration. But my point is, you know.
I was looking at, I mean, Sabonis, just because he plays a lot. But I was looking at the stats of the last few years, rookie of the year, like Lillard, Towns. Who the hell else was one? I guess Kyrie won it that year, right? Like, they're all averaging, like, 19 points a game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think Michael Carter-Williams, he averaged, like, just under 17. Like, that was the lowest. So, you know, it's if you're not scoring, like, you don't even really get don't even get mentioned in an MVP.
No.
So, I mean, yeah. Or Rookie of the Year, excuse me. So, yeah, it's probably going to be Embiid in the landslide.
Yeah, I think it's Embiid in the landslide, and we should just move on.
Yeah, Sixth Man of the Year. Another, like, kind of weird award, I guess.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It feels like over the last couple years, the candidate pool for Sixth Man of the Year has just shrunk completely. Like, not that it's a forgotten role, but it just... It's sort of a shared role around the NBA. It's one that you sort of have to, like, make weird arguments for each guy that sort of comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And or it's like, you know, in today's NBA, a lot of guys, you know, there's nicks and bruises. You could end up starting 40 games, and then it's like, are you a sixth man or not? Like, you know, how does the criteria is definitely not set in stone, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and I mean... It's become like the Jamal Crawford Career Achievement Award, too.
I mean, it almost feels like the Jamal Crawford is just like, if there wasn't any other good candidates this year,
yeah,
I guess
exactly.
It's Jamal Crawford.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think outside of Jamal, because he's certainly up there again this year, the other guys I had were Wilson Chandler on the Nuggets and Eric Gordon on the Rockets.
Yeah, I think Eric Gordon would have to be, like, the front runner.
Yeah.
Just because of, I mean, he's shooting the fucking lights out right
181
now.
181 made three-pointers.
Yeah.
Third in the NBA.
I mean, obviously a lot of that is due to James Harden and the incredible season that he's having and all the attention that he commands when he's on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so many, I mean, I ended up watching a lot of the Rockets, like, early in the season because I was working on a, you know, James Harden story for our last issue. Hopefully you guys saw that. But Harden gets everyone open shots all over the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that goes for the big guys. Like, we'll get, you know, the big guys wide open layups. Ryan Anderson wide open threes. Eric Gordon wide open threes. And you got to give Gordon credit for, like, stepping in there and shooting the hell out of the ball this year. So he's probably, like, the most impactful sixth man.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you have to look at Lou Williams, too, just because his numbers, he's been great.
Yeah, but he, like, starts a lot, too. Or am I bugging?
I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he's definitely been the sixth man for the Lakers this year. I'm kind of surprised that he hasn't been in more trade talks, because I feel like, you know, every playoff team could use, like, a guy like that off the bench.
And yeah.
The Lakers are certainly in a position to be sellers, so.
I mean, I feel like the Thunder could definitely use him.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's one. Yeah, I mean, I would go with Eric Gordon just because, you know, he's having a little bit of a career revival at this point.
For sure. And, you know, just to make a case for Wilson Chandler, averaging 15.6 points per game, which is his best since the 2010-11 season, right under 7 boards, which is a career high, and 2.2 assists, which ties a career high. He's playing 30 minutes a game. I mean, speaking of career revivals, you know, another guy who looked like he was – close to maybe never playing again due to his hip injury, like, sat out an entire season, was really, you know, in flux, kind of like in stuck in basketball purgatory. So he's having a nice year. Like, the story came out a couple of weeks ago that he wants out of Denver, which I understand. I mean, he's playing starter level, putting up starter level numbers, so he wants to play. Like, he's he's getting up, not necessarily getting up there in age, but he's playing on a super young team, so they're not really looking, probably not looking out for Wilson. So I respect it, and that's another guy, you know, a lot of teams could use right now.
For sure. I would just point out separately that if you want to see an amazing list of names, sixth man of the year through the years.
Yeah, I was just looking at it.
I mean, just look at the year from 99-2000 through 2004, say. Just pick that random five-year period. Rodney Rogers, Aaron McKee, Corliss Williamson, Bobby Jackson, Antoine Jameson.
Yeah, weird-ass award, man.
Dude, I would roll the ball out with those five right now. Let's go.
How is Manu Ginobili only won once? I don't understand that at all.
I think it's the same thing. He ends up starting so many games.
Cool. And then
Tony Kukoc, John Starks. Yeah. Like, this list is awesome.
Defensive player of the year. I feel like I'm in like no position to like judge a person's an NBA player's
defense. Dude, you haven't been tracking your stat view this year?
I can't say that I have at all, no. I'm more inclined to triple doubles than a player's defensive stance. I can always be for myself.
You don't look up defensive rating every morning?
Literally never.
While you eat your breakfast?
Literally never once in my 20 plus years.
I mean, look, like the obvious like list of names for a defensive player of the year: Draymond, Anthony Davis, Rudy Gobert, DeAndre Jordan, Kawhi Leonard, Whiteside.
Yeah.
To me, I just think straight instinctually, Kawhi Leonard's the best defensive player in the league. And I wouldn't really personally go too deep beyond that. I just think Kawhi's like the best defender and he can guard the most guys and longest fucking arms in the world. Yeah. And I don't know, just think he's the best defensive player. I wouldn't give it. I don't think like defensive player of the year is like, oh, he had 3.4 blocks, but this guy had 3.1. Like, I just wouldn't. Yeah. It's not that deep, bro.
It's really not. I feel like there's probably a case to be made for Avery Bradley. I'm not going to make it, but I'm sure someone out there could make a case for him.
I mean, this is another. I mean, all of these categories obviously have, you know, there's obviously a huge difference between a big man waiting to meet you at the rim versus a guard who's going to annoy the shit out of you on the perimeter as a player. But I just feel like more than likely if you polled all the players of who do you not want guarding you, I just feel like instinctually the answer would be Kawhi Leonard.
You heard that sneeze?
Yeah. The sneezy boys?
Yeah. I tried to hold that one in. It felt horrible. God, my head just like exploded.
Bless you, man.
All right. Let's get into All-Star. You know, we're not going to spend too much time on this. As
on
I've
what?
Been saying, on life.
On this podcast? I think it's too late.
So, I mean, I feel like the big story everyone is looking forward to is just seeing how Russ is going to interact with, like, Durant, Steph, Draymond, Clay.
Yeah.
At some point.
I mean, that assumes that he's going to interact.
Correct. I'm thinking, like, at some point, I mean, Kerr's got to give the people what they want, right? And play all four of those guys at once.
I mean, he doesn't have to do shit.
No, he has to.
Just play the four Warriors and then Russ.
Yeah, we fire.
Damn. Nah, that's kind of fucked up.
Why?
I don't know, man. Dude, just playing with fire there.
Mind games, baby.
I don't think it'll. Do you want to bet right now if that will happen or not?
No, because I really don't. Okay. Deep down in my heart, I don't think it will.
I don't think it will happen either.
But you never know, man.
I don't think Steve Kerr is enough of a savage to do that.
I don't know. He's like kind of low key, like hardcore, man. He went toe to toe with Jordan back in the day.
I will say that would be like finally we'd have like a moment in the All-Star game that we haven't had in many, many years.
Yeah. I mean, like since, I don't know, I guess there was like Shaq, Kobe back in the day, but they played with each other every day.
What's like the last All-Star game where you really remember what happened? Like, you can pinpoint the year.
Russ winning MVP in New York, only because I was there.
Okay. Well, I mean, but was there, like, a notable... I guess, yeah, I mean, New York. Russ in New York. But I guess, I mean, even larger scale than that.
No. The All-Star game, like, I don't know.
I mean, to me, you'd have to go literally all the way back to 2001. I have like vivid memories of the 01 All-Star game, which was in DC
with Gilbert Arenas in it.
No, it was the East came all the way back from like a 20-point deficit. It was Marbury and Iverson together. It was also Mutombo and Iverson played together, and then like a week later they made the trade for Mutombo. Mm-hmm. They went to the finals that year. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I have only half watched All-Star games because, you know, the first like quarter is cool because everyone's just out there dunking and there's no defense play. But then, you know, it's just the same because this is probably not a great endorsement for the All-Star game as I keep doing this. But like the fourth quarters can be dope. I think like in Dallas, maybe it was like 142-139 was the final score. Mm-hmm. When they played it at Jerry's World when it first opened. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Wade won MVP.
Okay,
yeah,
there you go.
So
unfortunately, all of our memories of this All-Star game are going to be in the horrible
extracurriculars. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and they're all going to be memories, you know, dressed in horrible looking jerseys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry to say.
Yeah. I guess I don't know. I mean, my memories of All-Star Weekend of watching are much more like dunk contest.
Yeah,
related.
Of course.
Yeah. So what do you I mean, this year's dunk contest, I don't know. How do you feel about it?
Well, first of all, are people more pumped in general for the dunk contest or the three-point contest? Because, like, 3 years ago...
Oh, interesting.
3 years ago in New Orleans, I was at that Saturday night, and it was for sure more excitement about the three-point contest. I'm pretty sure that was the year where the dunk contest format changed to, like... Dudes just kind of like dunk whenever, and John Wall ended up being the quote unquote dunker of the night.
Yeah.
Which he's not even listed as slam dunk champion. It's like dunker of the night.
Really?
Yeah. It's really weird. But, and so like there, it was the 3-point contest was definitely like the premier event then. Now, obviously, Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon over the last 2 years have sort of transformed that sentiment. And obviously we don't get LaVine this year. Mm-hmm. But I wonder this year if people are more pumped for three-point or for the dunk contest. Because the dunk contest, yes, Aaron Gordon's in it again, and people know DeAndre Jordan, but Glenn Robinson III and Derek Jones Jr.
Like anonymous, man.
Yeah, and that's to take nothing away from Derek Jones Jr., who in particular I know is going to blow people away with what he's going to do, but it just... people don't know who that is.
Yeah, I mean,
really don't know who that is.
I'm getting some James White... flashbacks. Uh-oh. When I'm thinking of Derek Jones,
another future podcast guest.
hopefully, you know, Derek Jones is basically on the Knicks to be in the dunk contest and like
Suns.
No, he was on the Knicks that year.
James White.
Yeah, James White. James Derek White. Jones. Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
I was like, holy shit! Do I not know what team he's on?
So James White was basically on the Knicks just to be in the dunk contest here, and like, you know, in it. Just an unbelievable international dunk contest champion.
Yeah.
Won the McDonald's and then just like flopped at All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad for him, man, as I'm sure everybody in the building did.
Definitely put some money on James White that night. Like, with, you know, you always just bet with your group of friends.
Hell
like,
yeah.
I'm stealing candy from a baby. This money, I'm about to win James White.
Yeah. And then you watch him run like, full length of the court for the third time trying to get the free throw dunk. And you're just like, shit, man. It's really over. The dream is dead.
Definitely got to go re listen to our Pops Meant to Bantu podcast for more on that.
Yeah, big fact. But I don't know. I mean, I guess like. I don't know. Derek Jones, I guess, is like so anonymous that literally the only thing that's out there is like Vines or RIP Vine, but clips of him on Twitter dunking and like in warm-ups and in the D League. So
yeah, like I think this weekend people will be more into the 3-point contest, at least going in.
Certainly got more star power. Yeah.
I mean, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, even like Nick Young has a shitload of fans, Laker fans. He's an interesting personality. He'll be jawing all weekend leading up to it. He'll be around. He'll be wearing some crazy sneakers. Like, but I think by the end of the night, we'll probably end up getting an Aaron Gordon versus Derek Jones face off. That'll be unbelievable.
As long as you get a Stuff the Magic Dragon appearance, I'm good. That's all I really ask for. And then, you know, the skills contest. All right, so... Yeah, fuck it. So the skills contest.
It's the motto of this podcast.
the Slam Magazine podcast, colon, fuck it.
This episode of Yeah, Fuck It. We're going to talk about All-Star Weekend.
That could really be motto in life, man.
Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, even the Skills Challenge got some star power. You know, Devin Booker, Cousins, Anthony Davis, Jokic.
I mean, the Skills Challenge last year was like, hilarious.
This year is lit, man. Yeah.
The Karl Towns winning it last year was awesome. And so much fun.
Like, I could totally see like Isaiah Thomas and John Wall taking this shit way more serious than they need to and going hard to win. So I'm here for it. So
wait, so give me your picks. Like, who are you picking for each of these things?
So Skills Challenge.
Now remember, for Skills Challenge, they put all the little guys on one side of the bracket. Little in quotes.
Gordon Hayward is not the guard
on one side, and then the big guys in the other. So
And then at the end, it's like big man and the guard face off.
Yeah, that's what happened last year.
Have I ever watched an All-Star game?
I don't know. Have you? No, this is the format is new. Okay. The format is new as of last year, so people are still getting used to it. I got to rock with John Wall.
Yeah, I like him too, but just to be a foil, I'm going to go with Jokic, man.
Okay, so we got a little guard versus big man there. If it's not John Wall, though, I think KP could win that as well.
Yeah, Porzingis is like, that's a dope competition.
I mean, because the end of it, I'm pretty sure, is pulling up for three. Yes. So, you know.
Facts.
Of all, you know, I guess Devin Booker would be a good look for that, too. Yeah. Why isn't Devin Booker in the three-point contest?
I was just thinking
the
same thing.
Why is he in the skills and not a three-point?
Yo, real talk, why isn't Langston Galloway in the three-point contest?
Oh, man, we got beef with the NBA.
Facts.
We really do.
I was saying this after several drinks the other night to you guys, that, like, the home team should get one guy in each competition.
Yeah.
So
why isn't Tim Frazier in the skills?
Yo, seriously. I mean, I guess AD is in it.
Why isn't Shaq in the dunk contest?
Why isn't Shaq just announcing the Saturday night? So,
facts.
I don't know.
All right, so I got John Wall. You got Jokic.
Yeah. With KP as our mutual dark horse.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fine. That's just like the empty third seat here in the podcast room. Can pick KP.
Yeah.
All right. So 3-point shootout. There's no way Nick Young takes it seriously enough to win. That's one thing I can say for sure. Even though he might be,
honestly, I think if he took it serious, he wouldn't win.
I see no reason why Klay Thompson wouldn't win this again.
I think it's going to be Klay and Eric Gordon in the finals.
I mean, Klay Thompson, just his release is so damn quick.
Yeah.
And he can get so hot.
All right.
Some of these guys take so long to load up.
Yeah. You're picking Klay. I'm going to take Eric Gordon.
Okay.
And then dark horse.
Nick Young. Kemba?
Nah, I don't think Kemba. I don't think this Kemba is. Takes honestly, a long time I don't think up. This is a good competition for him to be in. No shots. I'm hyped that Kemba's even in the All-Star. But I feel like a Kemba Devin Booker trade for their appearance in the night is something that should be considered.
Okay.
And then dunk contest.
I think we got to go Derek Jones. I mean, shit.
We're going to ride for DJ?
Yeah.
I'm with it, man. Derek Jones.
I do have a semi, not, it's not even a hot take, just like a bone to pick with the NBA. Why are there only four people in the dunk contest?
I feel like back in the day, there were like at least six.
Dude, I definitely have like VHS tapes I recorded of All-Star Saturday Night where there was like eight dudes in it. I specifically remember a year where Corey Maggette like did like a front flip and then dunked, and then he had like a tearaway jersey.
Yeah.
He never got to use it.
Yeah, because he got bumped so quick.
I have no idea what year that was, but it was probably one of the Jason Richardson years, probably like 04 or something.
Definitely
like
wasn't 03. 03's was definitely fire, whatever it was.
But anyways, like, I just – what – there's absolutely no reason why there shouldn't be eight players in this. You can't tell me that there weren't eight players across the entire NBA who wanted to do this.
I actually kind of think the opposite. I think people like are kind of shook to
really.
To be, yeah, I think there's like too much pride at stake for something like this now.
Okay, that's interesting because I'm looking at the four guys in it this year. Like, what? I mean, no disrespect to any of them, but I find it really hard to believe that the NBA went through every single possible guy and came down to only four, and these are the four.
Trying to think, like, who's a young guy that should be in it? Like, why isn't Marquese Chris in this?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he has a highlight dunk, like, every other night.
Yeah.
there's no reason for him not to be in this. Like, correct. The Suns should have been all over this to get him in.
Like, I'm not even saying it has to be a round number. The 8 was just convenient for rounds purposes, but, like,
you know, but to, why, to that
it could
point,
be 6 or 7. Like, you should just be able to be in it if you want to be in it.
But, like, people, like, campaign to, like, get into the 3-point contest.
Yeah, or the All-Star game.
Or the
Well, it's different, but, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, you never see people like, yo, I got to be in the dunk contest. Vote,
yeah, apparently because no one wants to be in it.
Even Zach LaVine was just like, nah, I'm good, pre-injury.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's weird. Like, there's nobody on any of these teams where their boys on the team were like, yo, you should be in the dunk contest. You can't tell me that in the entire NBA confidence levels are so low about dunking. There's just no way, dude.
I'm trying to think. Like, who would be fire in the dunk contest that's not in it?
Anyone. Even Giannis.
Well, he did it already. That's the thing.
Whatever. Okay, you do it once, you don't have to do it ever again.
I mean, if you do it and lose, I guess, yeah, like, there's really no reason to come back, right?
Yeah, there is, so you can win for once.
For once.
Why isn't, I mean, JaVale McGee, what's he doing this weekend too, that he can't be in it?
But he's already been in it too.
So what? I just want more. I just want more than 4 guys, occasionally 1 or 2 of them, their dunks suck, and then it's like we're really watching 2 guys. All this being said, obviously, last year's dunk contest was the illest of all time.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
It was fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I do have confidence that the dunk contest will be entertaining once again. I'm just blindly confident in that. It's going to be amazing.
I feel like Aaron Gordon is going to be in the league 5 years longer than he should be just based on his dunk contest performances.
I guess my larger point is just let's blow it out. Make it even tighter. Make it even more competitive. It could be.
I mean, that's on the NBA to put better. More money on the line, really, is what it comes down to.
I guess so.
All right.
Good note to end on.
Yeah. All right, so Abe and I are off to New Orleans.
Next week's podcast should be pretty good. I'll say that. We're going to have some stories returning home.
Yeah. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Enjoy All-Star Weekend, and peace.